And we know what it is to be human. Every single one of us does. There isn't a single one of us that doesn't know what it is to be human. And our people believe that we're actually spiritual beings trying to be human because we're not that good at it. We fall off our little wagons every now and then, and we have to get back on. But that's what teachings are for, to remind us of where we're going. And our people say we're going to the good life with a good mind, a good heart, a good spirit, and a good body. It takes all those things. If you do not have a good body, your body will be angry. That's how God made us. And when you're angry, your adrenals go off. And when they go off, you're strong enough to take down a mastodon or beat some human half to death or kill somebody. We have to be mindful of that when we starve a bunch of people like we did in this country. We starved the Crees. We starved the Blackfoot. And pretty soon, Salish people will be starving because they're overfishing. And in residential school, those kids went hungry. And they played experiments with them and starved them on purpose to see how they would act. And some Canadian boy did his dissertation on that. You all have children and grandchildren. Encourage them to research this country and what happened between us. In the United States, you can find all kinds of historical documents about all these people they killed, 1,800 tribes of Indians. They're actually quite kind of proud of it down there. Not so much up here. But they don't study it here either. They think Americans are better than Canadians. Or Canadians are better than Americans, sorry. They think that we're kinder. No. You killed us all the same. Just didn't study it. Didn't brag about it. I think Canadians are a little humbler. That's all. Hung Louis anyway. You know what I'm saying? He had an absolute right to Manitoba. He had gathered together the Squats. He had gathered together the Crees. He had gathered together the Wahpetons, the Anishinaabe, and the Métis. And he had given every single human being over 21 a vote, including all the women. Way before Canada gave women the vote, white women, I should say. And they voted on his 21-point program and nationhood for Manitoba. They supported him. Canada had no business going in there and shooting them and taking Manitoba. No business whatsoever. It was not their country. And so we have a country that didn't have a legitimate right to even be rounding us all up and sending us to residential school, which, by the way, was the crime. According to the UN Declaration on Crimes Against Humanity, the removal of a people's children is the crime. So even if some crazy native person says to you, well, I didn't get hurt in residential school. Well, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You have no family. Not a single person there when you scraped your knee to pick you up and say, I'll fix it for you. Mama will fix it for you. Not once did you hear that in your 17 years. I want you all to think about that when you think about residential school. Not once did my sister hear my mother say, love you, good night. I heard it every night for all my years at home. Not my sister. So she's dead now. Killed herself. She's not one of the survivors. And Canada hasn't reconciled with them yet. Hundreds and thousands of suicides. My Uncle Guinea's not a survivor. My Uncle Clute is not a survivor. My Uncle Galant's not a survivor. My Auntie May is not a survivor. My Auntie Betty's not a survivor. I can go on and on. Two of my sisters aren't survivors. This is another chapter that has to be brought out in the open at some point, is the non-survivors. And then there's the children of the survivors. My children are children of survivors. Their father went to residential school. And he was a crazy man when he got that hooch in him. He didn't drink very often, but when he did, he was a crazy man. And they had to deal with that. He had what's called alcohol-induced schizophrenia. He was interdicted. But he still managed to drink. And terrorize his family. All of us. Now people used to say to me, why don't you leave him? And I said, well, because every other indigenous man is like him. 90% of our people are violent. I want to know why. I want to know why. Lots of studies have been done on this. We know why. No parents. No love. No safe touch. No family. And then you're returned to a village. My grandfather was returned to his village when he was 17. He wandered up and down the inlet on foot, back and forth, looking for his home. He was born in a longhouse. It was gone when he returned. Burnt to the ground while he was at residential school. Finally, my old ta'a, my great-grandma, comes out and sees him. Kalot, my boy. And she's in a white man's home. He's horrified. What are you doing in that white man's home? She said, oh, George died. They burnt the house to the ground. And we had to build these things. Little white men's homes. We used to have apartment blocks. That's what they call a longhouse these days. Apartment blocks. We're back to living like that. We passed a law in 1968. No individual homes. Ha. That's what I say. Ha. We live in apartments now. One family to an apartment. That's how we live. We're back to living as a collective, the way we were meant to. The way God said we should live. That's how we were told to live. After the great flood, we were told to live this way. To work with each other. To do things always together. All they had to do was leave us be. But they wanted us to live like them. Now, I don't understand that. Because when Europeans first came here, they didn't wash. It was not in the stars for them. Queen Elizabeth I was the first English monarch to bathe without clothes. Whether she needed it or not, once a year. It's true. And so when they called us savages, the Christians called us savages because we took our clothes off every day and bathed naked. They're filthy savages violating God's law God's morals. Well, you know, God didn't actually say that. Some guy did. I think his name was Constantine. He translated your Bible, and I have to tell you, he wasn't a Christian. Some enemy of the Christians translated the Bible, and you all going along with it, stoning people and whatnot. For almost 1,000 years, people went along with this translation from King Constantine. We have to rethink what happened in history. We have to look at what happened and rethink it all and challenge ourselves. We're going to make up a story about what a human being is in Canada. That's what we got to do. A human being in Canada has to know how to live with 168 nations of people in the neighborhood. That's Takaranto. 168 nations in this city. And we all got to learn to live with y'all, each other. And if we're really lucky, and we say to you and you and you, bring your memories, bring your knowledge. We'll make a real university where everybody's knowledge is there. Like those guys at Oxford dreamed of. They wanted to study the world, the universe. And then they said, but only the English know the world and the universe. Whoops. Not true. We need to bring all these knowledges together. And we can do that. Because Canada, Takaranto, this city, has 167 nations living in it. There is no other city in the world that is as represented of the world than Takaranto. We're all here, people. We all know what it's like to be human. And we've all eaten humble pie one way or another. Mr. Harper had to say sorry. I must have choked him. That was right after he sent us body bags instead of medicine. I mean, he must have just choked. But we heard it. And then we looked at it. And we have been thinking about it ever since. And now the cat's out of the bag. And the 94 recommendations are right here. And it says, do something. So pick what you're going to do. And get on it. I think just one project at a time is going to do it. Every church picks a project. Doesn't matter what it is. Let's bake Bannock together. For God's sake. We don't have to do much. Just have to eat, bake, break bread, I think Jesus said. Break bread together. That's all we have to do. And we'll know how to be with each other. Yeah. And then we'll start to talk. We'll start to learn. Because God gave us two ears and one mouth. Listen. The way my grandpa could listen. Yeah. The other thing that got shaken by everyone in this country experienced it one way or another. But our belief in ourselves got shaken. Canadians are very unsure of themselves. They're so unsure of themselves that if you step on a Canadian's foot, they'll say sorry. Ask an American. Drives them nuts. No, I'm the one who's supposed to be sorry. We don't know who should be sorry. But it does shake our faith in each other. And we don't have much belief in each other. I was telling somebody about my dad. He had to sleep with dead people. Well, children, really, dead children. When he was in residential school. And they say, no! I said, why are you yelling no at me? I have no reason to lie to you whatsoever. You go get your belief back in your mouth. And don't ever yell no at me again when I tell you something. But we do. We say, that can't be. You know, they were hungry in the Charlottes. This is a story. I'll tell you the story. I love this story. I think it was deliberate, the hunger. Because of this Chinese people in Vancouver said, well, they're hungry in the Charlottes. The Haidas are hungry. We should bring them rice. So they went up there in a boat with some rice. And it was confiscated before it hit the shore. And the descendant of those Chinese people that brought those Haida that rice was in the gathering that I had hosted, seeing indigenous and Chinese women together and imagining ourselves. And the two people that were descendants, one was Chinese and one was Haida, were in the room. It was amazing, that meeting between those two people. And now the Chinese and the Aboriginal people are not just getting along, but they do Chinese New Year together. And that from a history of only 40 years ago, a young boy, one of our boys, killed an old man for 87 cents on a watch, an old Chinese man. And so a group of young Aboriginal people and young Chinese people got together and we were trying to put the fires out because everybody wanted to do something to somebody. Somebody got to pay for this guy. And then this old Chinese lady said, well, my father helped the Haidas. So I think we should bring the kids from the street here and get them to experience Chinese food and indigenous food and talk to them. So everybody looked at her and we just decided to go with it. You know how sometimes somebody says something, you don't have any other idea, so you just say yes because you don't have anything else to say. So we did it. These kids sat and listened to the old people. Now there's something beautiful about our kids, no matter what bad kids they are. I know because I had a cousin who, when he was 19, he was a contract killer. He was a bad boy. But you put an old person in front of him, and he was butter. We love old people. Even the worst of us. So those kids sat down when that old lady started talking. They didn't listen much to people like me, because I was around their age. What does she know? But that old Chinese lady got up and started, first in Chinese, then in English. She was explaining the story of the Haidas and the Chinese people. And the people of Sinop, which are my people, and Chinatown, during the Chinatown riots, when the white people were trying to kill all the Chinese people, our people went over in boats and brought their women and children across to Sinop and saved the women and children. Lots of the Chinese men, though, burnt in the Chinatown fires and the Chinatown riots. But they went and got the women and children. And she remembered that. We didn't know that. Catalano didn't tell us that. But he must have been one of the guys. Because he was alive then. Why didn't he tell us that? Well, it would have been bragging. It's not something we do. Oh, okay. She has to tell that story. If I do something for you, you're going to have to tell that story. Because I can't brag. Culture, eh? Culture's funny. But it changed those children and their attitude toward the Chinese community. And then the native community changed its attitude toward the Chinese. And we're now getting along again for the third time. Because the first time Chinese people came to this continent was 2,000 years ago and they brought us ginseng. And we were so respectful we didn't change the name. And I was asking my mom, what the hell kind of name is ginseng? That's not our language. Ours is full of X's and has no vowels. You know, we don't have any vowels in our language. And she says, it's Chinese. and has been here for 2,000 years. It's made its way all across the continent, north and south. It's called American ginseng because it grew here. And in 1735, the Chinese bought it back and started growing it in China again. It had been perished as a result of a series of famines and loss of forests. Ginseng grows in the dark, but they figured out how to grow it in the dark. They just drop a canvas over some sticks, and then it's dark there, right, underneath. And they grow it now everywhere in the world. But I'm so glad that our people didn't change the name of it like you did the names of everything I know. The road called Spadina. Does anybody know what language that is? Yeah, but it's Ishbadina. Ishbadina. Why did you change it? Because when I came here and I said, what the hell language is Spadina? I thought I knew every European word there was. What the hell language is that? I finally found an old Anishinaabe who said it's Anishinaabe, but they changed it. Oh, yeah, they did that to Chilliwack, too. Chilliwack. Chilliwack, can't you say that? Take your time. I learned to say bill. Gotta pay my bills. Everybody else in this country learned to say pay your bills. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that, and you can ask me questions, you know, about this talk. I know that a lot of it wasn't on the 94 calls to action. It was on the things surrounding it. And it wasn't on residential schools per se. It was on the things underneath it. But if you have any questions about residential schools, I have been involved with quite a few of them. So I do know something about them. And I'd be happy to answer. Hi, HKCM! What you looking for?
A handheld mic.